enjoy the testimony services tonight, or testimonies tonight during testimony. Ooh, it's going to be a rough evening. Testimony service. Maybe I should have testified first. I don't know. Genesis chapter number 37. And I want to read verse number 2 tonight for our beginning text. It says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report.
Amen.
You can be seated again tonight. Just keep your eyes open. Look up, and there will be scriptures on the wall. They will be speaking to you personally, and I will be reading them to me. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach tonight, and Brother Matthew's kind of already danced all around what I'm going to be preaching on here tonight. I want to preach on growing pains. Did you know growing pains are real? I actually looked it up. Google. How did we survive without Google? Googled it. Growing pains. And usually growing pains are, sorry folks, not really found in grown-ups. Not in the sense of the regular natural definition of growing pains. Growing pains usually are found in children and usually found young children. Basically, bottom line, from what I could understand, it's when they actually start exercising, running, jumping, playing, and their muscles start hurting. And they just call it growing pains. It's not anything that's detrimental at all. It's just part of growing. It's part of becoming more active in their childhood years until they begin, their body then begins to train or become accustomed to the exertion of running, jumping, playing, swinging, and all of that. So growing pains are real. I don't know if any of your children ever come and said, oh, my legs are sore. I know we adults do it all the time, especially when you pass 50. Every time you do something you used to do and do it like you used to do it, you think you're having growing pains all over again. Amen. Growing pains. So growing pains are real. And so what I want to share here tonight is kind of some growing pains in our Christian life. Brother Matthew's already mentioned the fact that he wants to grow. And I know it's the desire of others here tonight. You want to grow in the Lord. You want to grow in God. Well, I'm here to let you know tonight that as you begin to grow in the kingdom of God, there's going to be growing pains. The only thing that's going to be painful about it is towards your natural man, towards your carnal man, towards your fleshly desires. That's where it hurts. How many's ever said, you know, man, I know the Lord wants me to do it this way, but man, this is hard. What is that? That's a growing pain. It hurts to do it because it's not the normal way I would do it. And you have to really be in pain and agony to get it done sometimes. Growing pains. Well, you see, we're not the only ones that go through growing pains. And I want to run through some of the parts of Joseph's life where Joseph was a young man. As we read this scripture here tonight, we find he was 17 years old. The Bible's very specific that he's 17 years old and he's out working with his brethren. And when he comes home, he brings back to his father an evil report. In other words, he begins to report what the brothers have been doing. And it was an evil report because evidently, see, we have no clue what it was. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. The Bible just says that Joseph was the one that brought the evil report. In other words, he didn't have anything good to say about what the brethren were doing. So that just means the brethren weren't really doing what daddy told them to do about the flock. And Joseph came home and began to tell what was going on with the flock. And the Bible calls it an evil report, not to the fact that Joseph was evil. It's just what Joseph was reporting was evil. In other words, the reality of what was going on. And so what I'm after here and what I want to share with us is the fact that at the age of 17, as a young man, Joseph had some integrity going on. Joseph had a fear of God going on. Joseph knew what was right and what was wrong, and he was striving for what was right. Hallelujah. And so growing pains as a youth are quite frequent in the kingdom of God. In other words, there's times as youth, as teenagers, where it's time to make some adult decisions. It's time to make some serious decisions. It's time to make some commitment decisions about the kingdom of God, where it can become very stressful. Stressful in life. Now, I didn't have to do that as a teenager. I was not saved as a teenager. I did not get saved till I was 23 years old. And when I got saved, I got saved. And I found what I'd been looking for all my life. I'd found Jesus Christ. Knew about him all my life. But now I found him, and he came in, and he made a change in me. And it's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And he changed me. That's what I wanted, and that's what I committed to. But I was 23 years old. Now, to some, that's pretty young to make a commitment like I made and like we made as a family, and Sister Pepper and I made to the Lord, but still yet, I didn't do it when I was a teenager. And so I can't say I know what you're going through other than the fact of what the Bible tells me you're going through, because the Bible does talk about it. In Psalms 119:9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth, and I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." This is a committed teenager, if you will. This is a young man, a young woman who has realized this is where it's at. This is what's going to bring the best for my life. This is what's going to be what will take my life and make it something. And make it a true success in the eyes of God and not the eyes of man. Hallelujah. You see, that's what was in Joseph. Joseph had this going on. He was paying attention to God. He was paying attention to God's word, if you will. He was going after integrity. He was going after righteousness. He was trying to do what was right to do in the midst of a family that was doing wrong. Hello. It did not bring him peace. It did not bring him a camaraderie. It did not bring him a high position in the family. But it brought him to a place where God began to grow him to become one of the great patriarchs of the Bible and of God's kingdom. You see, it started with turmoil. It started with pain. It started with stress. Amen. And it started when he was 17 years old, when he was a youth, when he was a young man. And he made that decision. He drew that line in the sand, if you will. And he stepped across and he made that decision to put his confidence in the God of his fathers. Hallelujah. In the great God of heaven, to put his confidence in him, his allegiance unto him, and make sure that he took heed to his word. You see, as Brother Matthew was testifying about, you know, the victory, and it is so true, we as human beings, this is a rabbit trail, but we're going to catch it, kill it, and move on. Basically, it's proverbial. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, the reality is the victory is already won. We don't do things for the victory, but it's common mentality for mankind to want to try to do it himself. We've already made mention of that tonight. And that's where self-righteousness becomes my motivation, thinking I'll have victory if I do this, this, and this. There is no formula for victory except one simple thing: surrender. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the thing is if I'm trying to do righteousness myself, it's filthy rags. That's why it doesn't bring me victory. But when I'm letting Jesus Christ lead me, guide me, direct me, and have me, then I produce righteousness, which is victory. Well, you see, it's just that proverbial getting it in the right position and going with it the right way. We as humanity always want to put the cart in front of the horse and push it and try to make it happen. Instead of getting in and following on. Woo. Praise the Lord. And so we see then, yes, victory has already been won. And it's when we're in Christ, then we are producers of victory also. Amen. But when we try to make the victory happen, it's the wrong pattern. It don't work that way. It's always the follow. Hallelujah. See, finding my part and then doing my part as He directs my part, and then victory is mine. Amen. And so we see here in Joseph's life as a young man, he's choosing God. He's choosing God's word. He's choosing God's precepts. He's choosing God's statutes. He's not forgetting God's word. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." This is talking about even lower, even younger than teenagers. This is talking about when you're children, when you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You're not a teenager yet. This is talking about when you're young and when you're small and you realize that God is real, and go ahead and apply yourself at a young age to learn God's Word, read God's Word, meditate in God's Word, have church services at home. Hallelujah. In other words, everything about God's Word, God's ways, God's kingdom, putting it in their minds at a young age when they don't have so many choices to make. So that when they become teenagers, they're well rooted in the Word of God. And when it comes to the hard decisions now, God's Word's there. God's Word's there. Hallelujah. And they can choose, because that's what happens when we become teenagers. Whether it's physically human teenagers, or whether it's Christian teenagers. You see, how many remember that when we come to Jesus Christ, we're babes? And from that point, we begin to grow. Well, you really, it's just like the natural life, and you got your terrible twos, your Tyrant threes, and your whatever fours and fives. I mean, we kind of generate sayings for each year when kids grow, of their characteristics and how they act and what they do. And of course, then once again, with the teenage years, we're not bashing teenagers. It's just those are years of transition all the way around. Amen. And as a Christian, you will hit. And you could probably stand and testify, in your Christian life, when you kind of realize you hit that teenage years, when God was really working in your life, but yeah, you were pulling away, you were pulling back, you had your own desires, your own wants, and what you thought might be right, and what you thought you wanted to do, and yet God's pulling you this direction, and those are the Christian teenage years. They're real, church. They're real. Amen. But the thing is for growth to happen, I'm going to have to choose pain so there'll be gain. That's that old proverbial saying, no pain, no gain. And that's just a reference to whether you're trying to run a mile, trying to jog a mile, jog 3 miles, jog 5 miles, Too many folks, when they start out, they can do all that just instantly. You know, even young people, if they haven't done it very often, they ain't going to run it any much better than older folk until they start training themselves. They'll be able to train quicker, and their body will adjust quicker than those that are older, but you still have to train it. Amen. So you still have to be trained as a child of God. And those times of training sometimes are stressful and sometimes can be painful, but they will always produce great gain. Praise our God. And so now we see that. So as a youth, Joseph is serving God. As a youth, Joseph is pressing towards God. And you know the story probably as well as I do about Joseph and how Joseph had the dreams. And because Joseph was young, Joseph was a novice, Joseph wasn't real wise. He was a teenager. Praise God. And so he was having something great going on, but he didn't fully understand it. And as he began to share it with others, he didn't realize how he was coming and appearing and making himself look to everybody else. Now, I'm not really going to fault Joseph here. In my opinion, the fault lies on the brothers and the father. Because they should have had enough going on to realize, hey, God's doing something in his life. He don't have it quite right, but God's working. And we need to help promote this. But they didn't do that. They got mad. They got jealous. That was part of the problem. That's what happens when, you know, you got young people doing right, old people not doing right. They just really want to power drive them down. I run into that in my Christian teenage years. Amen. I was striving and pressing and going, and everybody else was pulling back. And then I'm going, okay, what's the problem? I thought this is what the Word of God said. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Oh, well, no, you know, that's a lot of work. No. So it was rough. It was tough. Hey, but I'm still here. Praise God. What did it do? It just made me stronger. Because it had to, it made me press into my relationship with God so I would know what I really need to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it was with Joseph. He shared the dreams, had the dreams. The dreams were from God. The dreams were real. The dreams were something in the future. But Joseph didn't fully understand it. The family didn't understand it. And they all got jealous. They all got mad. They all got envious. Whoa. In Genesis 37:28, and then there passed by the Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. You see, what was going on here is Joseph had it going on. Joseph was trying to serve the Lord. Joseph was actually getting dreams and visions from God. None of his brethren were. His father wasn't. Joseph was. But all it produced in the rest of the family was bitterness and envy and jealousy and strife and anger and frustration and evil. To the point they actually wanted to kill him. But Reuben, the oldest, said, no, we don't want to do that. And so he was trying to take care of him, but not really ruffling the feathers of the brethren either. Oh, somebody needs to stand up and do what's right. You know, if Reuben just would have stood up and done what was right, Joseph would have never went through what he went through. But then again, Joseph wouldn't be the man that he was. What God made him through it all. Woo. Anybody's ever read that scripture, Romans 8:28? It's not in the notes, so it won't be up there. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We don't always understand why things go the way they go, but God knows all things. And sometimes things go the way they go so that I can grow. So that I can grow. Hallelujah. Sometimes things don't go my way so I can grow. Amen. So I can
make sure that I'm doing what God would do in this situation. You see, the brethren, once again, hatred, bitterness, evil, envy, jealousy. Ephesians 4 and 30, verse 30 through 32, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," I mean, these are all real close to one another, almost synonyms, but yet they're just different levels of getting out of control. That's what they are. That's just the bottom line of it. You know, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, with great effort. It's going to hurt when you have to quit acting that way. It's going to hurt. Victory's there. It's been paid for. But my part is to yield to it. At that moment of time, when bitterness starts trying to raise up, oh, when anger starts trying to raise up, when wrath starts trying to raise up, when clamor, oh, and sooner or later the mouth is going to begin to speak. Oh, don't you just hate it when you start running at the mouth and saying all kinds of things that you really don't want to say, but you say them anyway, just because you're mad? Woo! It's time to grow. And the only way you're going to grow is if you're ready for some pain and you just don't do it. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. Yeah, I mean, you know, you may think, I'm trying to make it a little humorous, but it's really the way it is. The only way you're going to grow through it is you just don't do it when it starts coming on you. Oh, yeah. You yield to it, and it'll happen all the time. Bible says that you are to crucify that and yield to the Holy Ghost. So, wait a minute here then. The same choice or the same power is for both directions. Whichever one we yield to is the one we will do. So I have the choice. So many times, and here's what we do as humanity. Well, you know, that's just the way I am, and that's just the way I was raised. Well, it's time for training. It's time for changing. It's time for growth. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful because you're going to have to choose to bite your tongue and yield to the Spirit of God. See, you've got to choose it at that moment. See, you're right down here at this altar. We can talk to God about it, realize what we're doing wrong and know that it's wrong and tell God we're not going to do that again. But brothers and sisters, you're not going to know whether you're going to do that again until you're put right in that situation and it's time to yield to the Spirit of God. That's where you're going to grow. If you don't yield to the Spirit of God, you won't grow. And you'll have pain. You'll have anguish. Number one, because once it's all done, you realize, oh, I failed again. But see, that doesn't change the fact that you have victory for that. You just haven't chosen it yet. That's just the way it works for everything in the kingdom of God. It's there. And when I choose it instead of what I want, then victory will be mine. It's just that simple. But it's very complex and complicated because sometimes it's hard to choose that. Because I've heard this a multitude of times, but you don't know what they did. I don't find in these scriptures where it says anything about what they did. All it talks about is what I do. So I can't justify my actions by the actions of others. Even if other people treat me good, I can't use that to justify me being good. I got to be good whether anybody else in the whole wide world is or not. Because that's what I'm called to do as a child of God. as a Christian, as a worshiper of the Lord. Hallelujah. So here we are then, growth. I mean, once again, Joseph, he's not having the problem with these things. His brethren are having the problem right now, but Joseph battles it a little bit later on. I mean, you know, because his position begins to change and their position begins to come right back to what the dreams Joseph saw. I mean, that's later on. But here is the reality of growing in the kingdom of God, growing in Christ, growing in our yieldedness to the Spirit of God. I haven't even finished Ephesians chapter 4 yet. Verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Lindsay covered it in her testimony there a little bit to the fact. And we realize that the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the golden rule, or the rule of thumb, or the right rule is, you know, if you'll just treat everybody else like you would like to be treated, you're going to be doing good. Most folks don't do that. But commandment number one is a step above that. Treat people like God treats you. That's a bigger command. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. That means you're to treat your neighbor as God has treated you. Wow. How does God treat you when things don't go His way? When He asks you to turn right and you turn left, how does God treat you? What Sister Lindsay say? More grace. More grace. Yeah. So this really has worked on me for many years about striving to treat other people how I want to be treated and how God treats me. And because if I think of that right immediately when people do something towards me that was really not right, and I think of that immediately, then that helps me show grace and kindness and mercy and long-suffering over. I lost that one. It's just gone. It's just history. It'll pop up here in a little while. Hebrews 12:13, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We touched on that just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, about how everybody always grabs holiness out of there, but forgets the one about following peace with all men. And that's the first one. Because if you don't, you're not going to see God. Hallelujah. So you got to become a peacemaker. You got to become a peaceable person. You can't always be out to roll somebody's head. Use my terminology there, but a lot of times we get on our high horse and we're ready to knock them all down. Why? God don't treat you that way, does He? Ooh, what if He did? We wouldn't be here. We'd be burning in fire. Hello. Yeah, see, are you getting the picture? Growth. Growing pains. Growing. See, are you getting the picture of it? It's not an easy road, but never in the Word of God did He promise it was going to be easy. But He did promise, I'll be right there with you. Because I have already got the victory. And I've already purchased it. And it's part of your salvation. Hallelujah. And I am going to be right there until we bring it to pass together. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, that's that teaching. That's that training. That's that growing. That's that chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hallelujah. What's that? He takes me through those roads and those tests and those trials so he can answer my prayer. Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to grow. I want to be fruitful. Well, it's going to take a little pain so that there can be gain. What I mean by pain, it's not pain to the new man. It's not pain to the spiritual man. It's not pain in the Spirit of God. It's pain to my hindering man, that old Adamic nature. That's what the Bible tells us. The Scripture says, when you suffer in the flesh, you have ceased from sin. Because sin only comes through the old natural man. Sin doesn't come in the new man. It's created after Christ Jesus. Sin doesn't come from the Spirit of God not speaking up. Sin comes when we don't listen to the Spirit of God when he talks. And so we're going to have to learn to put pain where it belongs so that we can walk in that newness of life. Amen. James 3:13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Wow. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Woo, praise our God. Is that not what Jesus Christ did when he walked the face of this earth? Is that not what the Spirit of God has come back to produce in the lives of believers? Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then we're growing. When these things begin to become conflict in our lives, church, we're growing. I'm not preaching this to condemn. I'm not preaching this to point out faults or failures. I'm preaching this to help us realize when this is going on, we're growing. Because when we were lost and in sin, we could care less how we acted. But now that we're a child of God, we know what needs to be done. We know what is right. And even when we do wrong, when it's all said and done, we know we did wrong. And it's painful. It brings grief. Sometimes it brings discouragement, disheartenment. And then the enemy wants to jump on the bandwagon and try to get us to give up. But it's not time to give up. No. It's time to be a Caleb. It's time to take the giant. It's time to rise up and know that God is on my side. It's time to rise up and know that the victory's already won. Christ died on Calvary that I could be victorious over this. Woo, hallelujah. And so it's time to rise up and it's time to take this giant out. Hallelujah. And we take it out by surrender, submission, and yieldedness to God. Now, just going to throw this in here too, because that's why we emphasize and we teach from God's word. It's very, very expedient and important to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because one of the most important victory factors is when you have learned to yield to the Spirit of God. And until you're really baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a hard time yielding outside these four walls to the Spirit of God. And then even when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're still going to have a hard time yielding outside these four walls. Because that's where the growing pains happen. Most growing pains don't happen in here. Most growing pains happen out there. At your job, at the store, at your house, that's where growing pains happen. Praise God.
In here, we're exercising. In here, we're feeling the Spirit of God. In here, we know God's moving. In here, we realize I can do this. Praise God. This is where you get primed, pumped, lifted up, encouraged, edified, so that when you go out there, you can display it. You can let your light shine, or you can let it go out, whichever one you choose to do. Praise God, because it's our choice. Because God's there, God's moving, God's working. All we have to do is get in with God. Hallelujah, and start letting God have His way. So this is why it's important to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's your growing ground of learning to yield to the Spirit of God, to the capacity that we're going to need for the victory He's provided. That's why Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He's the comforter. He's the encourager. He's wisdom. He's everything I'm going to need for the victory. You see, Jesus Christ in His finished work on Calvary bought me and brought me the victory. But the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the walk in the Spirit of God is what brings it into reality in my life. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then growth takes Spirit-filled living, and it just keeps growing me. We started out with Joseph as a teenager. He's now been in Egypt for a long time. And Genesis 39 and 20 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Hallelujah. Praise God. No matter what happened in Joseph's life. See, Joseph was falsely accused. Joseph was falsely put in prison. Joseph was an innocent man put in prison for the wrong reasons. But he's still serving God. He's still conquering in the midst of his bad circumstances. His sorrowful circumstances. Now Joseph's just a human being. He's just a man like you and I. And there is no doubt in my mind that when all this happened to Joseph, he was sad. He was distressed. He was in despair. And he was in depression. These are just common symptoms of when things don't go my way. It's common symptoms for everybody. Some show it more than others. Some voice it more than others. But everybody experiences it. But he didn't stay there. He just got up, if you will, dusted himself off, said, all right, I'm in prison, then I'm going to be the best prisoner this prison's ever had. You will find, if you can get a hold of that as a young person, you're going to go a long way in success in the natural realm and in the kingdom of God. What is that? That's whatever you lay your hand to, you do it with all your might unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And God then will prosper you. So this is what Joseph took up. This is what Joseph began to do. And what did it bring? It brought favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Well, the Bible says God brought that. Of course God brought that. God brought that because it was easy to bring because of Joseph's character and countenance. Now, God's going to have a hard time giving you favor with a boss if you're the worst worker He's ever had. Sorry. It ain't going to happen. What are you doing? When you're the worst worker that person's ever had, you've just tied the hands of God because you're not doing your part. Glory. Hallelujah. You start rising up and giving your all for wherever you're at, and God will prosper you. You won't be there very long because you're going up. You'll have your own business. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to the King. And so here we are. I mean, things are going all against him. And of course,
I mean, we know the end of the story. We know the rest of the story. All this is growing pains for Joseph. This is producing the man he's going to need to be the deliverer of Israel. To be the second man to Pharaoh, and it doesn't go to his head. He has learned to become content. Oh, wow. Luke 1 and 52, Jesus said, He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Humility. You want to have great faith? Then have great humility. You'll have great faith. Why? Because you know your faith is not in you. Humility is the reality. It's not in me. Oh, God, thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for kindness, because it's not in me. But God, I know it's in you. And you are a great, great, almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my. Low degree. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Man, which had a whole room full of teenage preachers. This is where it's at. You want to be a great preacher? Then humble yourself as a little child and do whatever you're told, when you're told, how you're told, and do it as fast as you can, and do some more then. Woo! Praise our God. What is that? That's that humility, becoming that childlike faith. Realizing, I need trained, I need taught, I need shown. Do you realize the hardest person to teach is the person who already thinks they know it all? Actually, they become unteachable. And they were very limited, really, on what they will know until they can become as that little child and start absorbing everywhere. Oh, yeah. Praise our God. Woo! Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned, key word, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then here's the key verse that we quote all the time, but really don't talk about all the other ones. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And really, the previous verses talk about contentment. I can be content because Christ will strengthen me to be that way. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. So the reality of knowing when it's time to be abased, it's time to abound. That wisdom that comes from God, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Growing in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Here was Joseph continually conquering in his circumstances because he humbled himself and he became the best he could be for God where he was at. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 13:19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. It is evident to me that Joseph continued to grow in his relationship with God, in his trust in God, in his confidence with God, in his relationship with God, to the very point that God had revealed to him that the children of Israel were going to be delivered. And he left command on his dying bed, if you will. God's coming. And when y'all leave, you take me with you. Because I want to go to the promised land too. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to God. And so we see there's growing pains. But to grow, there's going to have to be a little pain. To grow, there's going to have to be some circumstances. There's going to have tests, trials. There's going to have to be things that push your button, so you can grow and not respond the way you have for years. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got buttons. I'm not talking about the button on your shirt. I'm talking about that button when somebody says something, or somebody does something, or somebody acts some way, or if everybody's got buttons. Everybody's got something that just, you know, some people, I don't have a chalkboard here, but some people, you drag your fingernails down a chalkboard and it just, oh my, they become irate. Don't bother me a bit. So if I'm in the room with you, test for you, not me. Woo, it's a test. Why did this happen? Have you ever asked that? Lord, why did this happen? And the answer, he cries back, it's a test. It's a test. How are you going to respond? How are you going to react? Are you going to be spirit-led or flesh-led? You going to do what you feel like doing, or are you going to do what God said do? Whoa. Anybody's ever heard that little saying, if you've never had a weather box or a weather station, you know, for the next 60 seconds, we are going to be conducting a test. Your Christian life, there are 60-second moments where God's conducting a test to see whether you're spirit-led or not. Whether I'm spirit-led or not. Because sometimes that's just how quick it happens, Brother Robert. I mean, we're doing good. We're doing great. Had a good church service. I mean, we're on a high. I mean, you know, we're feeling good. We're happy. We're full of joy. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, somebody pushes that button. Oh. Woo, what am I going to do? Help me, Jesus. I can't go there. Oh, you've gave me the victory. For the next 60 seconds, it's either going to make you or break you. And if it breaks you, then he'll pick you back up. Brother Matthew, I think, testified. He'll pick you right back up. He'll take you back into that high service. He'll take you back into that joy. He'll take you all the way back to where you were until one day, one moment of time, in the next 60 seconds, here it is again. Oh, why can't I ever get away from this? Because you never respond right. I'm just pointing. If the shoe fits it, go ahead and wear it. I mean, preachers, we just point. I used to preach with my hanky in my hand, and everybody thought my notes were there. Like, this is where I always used to preach before. That's before I had a tall pulpit and a platform. Praise God. Praise the Lord. For the next 60 seconds, I may be your test right now. Because I've went on longer than I said I was going to. And it's your test. Don't do with it. Praise our God. Really, it's not. You love my preaching. I can tell you wouldn't stay here and sit and smile at me like you do, or you just smile and humor me, one or the other. Praise God. Stand with me. Growing pains, they're real. They happen. They're no fun. They're stressful. But they're needful. And they do bring rejoicing when we do overcome them. And we walk in that victory that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you see, there's not a one of us in here that is exempt from spiritual growth. We will be growing just like Joseph, just like the analogy of Joseph. We'll be growing all the way up to when we step out of this life. And then we'll get our final growth. When that trumpet sounds, we get a brand new body. Hallelujah, and live in the presence of the Lord forever. Glory. We'll have hit perfection. Praise God. See, we're pushing towards it. We're growing towards it. But when we move from this life into the next, we'll have embraced it. Glory. Because we have fought the fight. We have kept the faith. We have allowed God to continue His wonderful works in us. Could we lift our hands unto the Lord and give Him praise?
God of heaven, Lord, we thank You. God, I praise You, Lord God, for Your love that You have unto us. Lord, we praise the battles. Day in, day out, Lord God, test after test. Lord, I want to strengthen You. Lord, I want to strengthen You. forsake us. But Lord, you're just making us stronger and stronger, wiser and wiser. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory and honor and praise be given to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the greatness of this salvation, the finished work of Calvary, and the work of the Spirit of God on a continual basis in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that we can have that fullness of joy, that we can have that life and that life more abundantly, oh God. Hallelujah. It is your desire, Lord, to grant us the kingdom, Lord. Hallelujah. Every good gift comes from above, and God, your desire is that we have them all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Help us see the way, God. Help us to see your way, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. I want us to come tonight. I want us just to line up across.